Morning. Is that a little uncomfortable for you? Do you think maybe Corey had forgotten to get someone to fill in this morning? By the way, my name's Gary. If you don't know me, I'm one of your elders here at Calvary Rathdrum, and welcome. I'm glad to see you this morning. But here's a question for you. What if Corey had forgotten to get someone to fill in for him this morning? Or what if when I woke up this morning, I saw how gorgeous it was as the sun was coming up over the hills and the sun was casting this marvelous pink light on the snow? I had decided that, hey, I'm not coming in. Or what if the worship team, what if they had said, wow, it's gorgeous, we're not showing up? Or the people down in children's ministry, or our security team, our sound guys, all the people that toil week in, week out to make church happen, what if we kind of no-showed? What would happen? You're probably wondering where I'm going with this by now. And, you know, here's the point. As of late, I find myself, and I'm sure you can kind of sympathize with this, getting really angered by the level of depravity that's so prevalent in our society, in our culture, right? These people with authority, they spew out arrogant, boastful, vile poison. And they're proud of it. And if you don't go along with it, then they revile you. They say, what's wrong with you? And in my flesh, I react, and it's not a godly way of reacting. I get angry. I just want to react the way that they've reacted towards me. But fortunately, the Holy Spirit convicted me of how I was reacting towards them and what I felt towards them. And as I wrestled with the Spirit, it occurred to me just how brokenhearted our Savior is over those people. And of the hundreds of millions of people in this world who don't know Jesus Christ. And as I was struggling, though, with the Spirit, and this happened in the middle of the night, for real, I asked, Lord, why? Why is there so much evil in this world? Why do you let so much evil to prevail in your beautiful, wonderful creation? Especially given that atheists will make the argument that there can't be a God with all this evil in the world. And if there is some sort of God, how could he be worth worshiping if he allows all this evil into the world? And I really believe the Spirit spoke to me, and I believe he said this: I'm letting more and more evil into the world in the hope that it will break the heart of my children as much as it breaks mine. So maybe my people, my children, those that are called by my name, my church, will finally engage in the battle that is raging all around them. I've called all of you to be my messengers, my representatives, my ambassadors to the world that doesn't know you. John Mark Hall, a youth pastor who writes many of the songs for the Christian band Casting Crowns, wrote the lyrics to this song. He says, if the church, if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? And why aren't we showing his love that there is a different way? I think with the way our country is right now, that song has even deeper meaning, doesn't it? They're very valid questions. Why? Why, if we are a Bible-believing people and we believe that God has called us to be his ambassadors to a dying world, then why is there so much evil in our society? Why aren't we answering his call? Is it because we're intimidated? Are we fearful of losing our jobs, being shunned by friends? Are you afraid that you don't know what to say? In 1 Peter 3:15, we read, "But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you." Do you feel ill-equipped? Why? Jesus tells us, "If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you." For how long? Forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. Now, if what Jesus said is true, and I know it is, then why are we, and I mean by this, by God's church, why are we so hesitant to go out into culture and to share God's truths with the world? When are we going to be brokenhearted as much as Jesus is, so that we are spurned to action to go to war with Satan and be the salt and light that Christ has called us to be? How can the slaves of sin be set free if God's children are silent, if we're not brokenhearted over their lost souls like Jesus is? And I think for many of us, the answer is that we do truly believe what the Bible teaches us, and we want to do what God's word calls us to do. But we have a trust issue. We read of all the miraculous things that Jesus did while he was here on the world. Even his apostles did after he left them. Yet in our modern times, when we witness things that seem to be miraculous, we tend to rationalize it, don't we? Oh, there's probably a scientific explanation for that. Another possibility might be this. We're all too comfortable. We've never had to be on our hands and knees begging God, praying for water, let alone clean water, or food to feed our children, or shelter, or protection from those that would do violence to us. We've never been dependent on him for our subsistence, unlike so many of our brothers and sisters around the world. So today I want us to take another look at a passage in the Bible that I know all of you are familiar with. Those of you that grew up in the church, you probably sang songs about it in Sunday school. I'm sure you drew many pictures about it. What passage is that? Well, if you have your Bibles with me, turn to Joshua chapter 5, and we're going to start reading in verse 13. Joshua 5, 13. And if you're able, once you find it, if you would, out of respect for the Lord's word, stand with me as we read his word. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went with him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped him and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to him, "Joshua, take your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for sending your Spirit to come be with us today, to live in us, to lead us and guide us, to give us your word and your truth. Lord, speak to us today. Open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to hear what you have to say to us. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. Please be seated. So out of that passage, there are four points I'd like you to think about today as we read these. The first is that God is honored when we are awestruck by him, when we are awestruck by him and we fall down before him and worship him. Two, God values our faith and our trust. He honors that. Three, God will test your faith. And finally, God will fulfill his promises. So let's think about the context of this passage. Joshua has recently assumed leadership over Israel. Now remember, Joshua spent a lot of time being Moses' right-hand man. So he was with Moses through a lot of what Moses went through. He went with Moses to the mountain, didn't go up there with him, but he saw the transformation that the Lord had in Moses. And he saw the miracles that God wrought through Moses as he followed him. Now recently, Joshua himself has experienced the power of God as he led Israel across the Jordan River. Is much like when God parted the Red Sea, the river was dried where Joshua led Israel into the promised land. And now their part was, as they're in the promised land, to overcome, to conquer that land, to drive out the pagan worshiping Canaanites so that they could inherit the land that the Lord has promised to them. Now imagine at this point, everyone in that encampment was kind of in a state of heightened vigilance, especially since they were in the presence of Jericho. They could see it there. They could see how fortified it was. And if you think about it in your flesh, you can imagine like if God told all of us, hey, pack up all your belongings. I'm going to take you to a promised place and you're going to inherit it. So we all pack up and we go and we encamp outside Seattle or well, never mind. But anyway. Sorry. But so when Joshua, he's in this heightened state of vigilance, right? And he comes face to face with this man holding this sword. And it's natural. He says, are you for us or for our adversaries? And the man answered, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua, he falls to his face on the earth and he worships him. The commander of the army of the Lord. This was the manifestation of the pre-incarnate Jesus. And then when Joshua realizes whose presence he's in, he's awestruck. I think his knees probably buckled as he collapsed to the ground in worship in front of him. And you know what? I pray that should that happen to us, that we would have that very same reaction. To be in complete awe of the fact that we're in the presence of he who spoke all creation into existence, he who imagined every bit of it down to the tiniest nanoparticle, and he holds it all together by his will. I hope that each of us, I pray that we would be so awestruck by him that we would never cease to worship him. And guess what? If you're a child of God, you are currently in his presence. His Spirit is here amongst us. That should overwhelm us. We should be awestruck by his holy presence. God is honored when we are awestruck by his presence and when we fall in worship of him as the creator of the heavens and the earth. So as Joshua is on his knees in front of the Lord, he then asks, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was strongly fortified because of the Israelites, no one leaving or entering. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Look, I have handed Jericho, its king, and its best soldiers over to you." Now, some of you know that I served in the military. One of the reasons I believe that the United States military has been, for the most part, so successful is that the whole leadership structure of our military is built upon trust. We trust from the lowliest recruit to the highest general or admiral that any person put in authority over us is there because they have the best interests of our country at hand. They're there to serve and protect the people of our country. And then we assume that any orders that we're given are for the good of our nation. And therefore, we willingly are subservient to those orders and we obey them. We go forth. Without that trust, without that respect, the whole thing would collapse. It wouldn't matter how good our armament is. If the soldiers don't believe in the cause, if we don't trust our leaders, then it won't succeed. It's much the same when it comes to our faith and our relationship with Jesus. Joshua, by the way, his name means Jehovah is salvation. He displayed that faith and trust in God when Moses appointed him to be one of the spies sent into Canaan. I know you remember that story. We read about what happened after they came back in Numbers 14, verses 6 to 9. The other spies had said, we can't go in there. They're too great for us. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Now, I love the trust and the faith that these two men displayed in the face of the negativity of the other spies, in the face of the population of Israel who had bought into their fear-mongering. Joshua said, "Hey, listen, if the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us." I loved also that he didn't just assume that God would be with them. He said, "If the Lord delights in us." In other words, the Lord honors those who honor Him. The Lord delights in those who have faith in Him. Joshua had this deep, abiding faith in God. He understood that that faith and trust in God means that his God would prevail. So he said, "Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Paul echoes this thought in Romans 8:31, saying, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Going back to Joshua, the Lord said to Joshua, "Look, I have handed Jericho, its king, and its best soldiers over to you." So Joshua didn't doubt. He didn't question. He didn't wonder how in the world this was all going to play out. I'm sure he was looking at those daunting reinforced walls lined with the best warriors. They're armed with swords, javelins, bow and arrow. But he simply took what the Lord told him, the heart. "Look, I have handed Jericho, its king, and its best soldiers over to you." How about you? How about me? How about us? Have you read all the promises that God has for us in His Word? Have you taken them to heart? Do you trust and believe Jesus? If so, what do we have to fear? In Matthew 16, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you, church, Whatever my children bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you let loose on earth shall be let loosed in heaven. In other words, church, if we were to bind evil here on earth, it would be bound in heaven. And if we were to let loose love and grace and mercy here on earth, it would be overflowing in heaven. Whenever you have doubts, trust what Jesus told us, because God values and he honors our faith and trust. So moving on, verse 3, march around the city with all the men of war, circling the city one time. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horn trumpets in front of the ark. But on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times while the priests blow the ram's horns. When there is a prolonged blast of the horn, you shall hear its sound. Have all the troops give a mighty shout. Now, I want you to picture this in your imagination, okay? I want you to picture in your mind the city of Jericho. The ruins of ancient Jericho span 400 yards in length. That's almost a quarter of a mile, right? 200 yards wide and 70 yards high. That's about the height of a 10-story building. That's huge. That's imposing. And it's got soldiers lining the top of it, looking out. Now, imagine you're a soldier in the army of Israel, and Joshua comes to you and he says, hey guys, I got this plan. We're going to form up, and we're going to get the priests in front of us. They're going to carry the ark. We're going to have some trumpets, and we're going to walk around the city once a day for 6 days. You with me? All right. But it gets better. Trust me, because on the 7th day, we're going to walk around it 7 times. Okay, and at the 7 times, I'm going to have the priests blow the trumpets. And when you hear them give a loud blast, you're all going to yell. Now. Think about who Joshua is telling this to, right? These guys, this army, these guys are the descendants of the same people that wouldn't listen to Joshua and Caleb when they spied out the land some 30, 40 years before, right? They're their descendants. Probably not the bravest people and the boldest people in the world, huh? And Joshua's telling them, hey, this is our battle plan, guys. This is how we're going to conquer this great city before you. We're going to walk around it, blow a horn, and yell really loudly. Think some of those guys might have doubted? Think they might have feared a little bit? I'm not condemning them. That's natural, isn't it? We all struggle with doubts and fears, don't we? It kind of brings to mind the Apostle Thomas, doesn't it? Think about it. Thomas walked with Jesus for 3 years. He witnessed firsthand the miracles, the healings that Jesus wrought. He was part of the disciples that Jesus sent out 2 by 2. And they cast out demons and wrought miracles. And yet when his fellow disciples told him, we've seen the resurrected Christ, Thomas says, unless I see in his hands, the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Wow. Brothers and sisters, it is natural for us to have doubts. And maybe it's even healthy for us to question, to wrestle with our faith at times. I really believe that there are times when God will call us to do something that seems absolutely impossible to do. Because you know what? They are impossible to do if we try to do them in our own strength and power. But God, he is with us. How long is he with us? He says forever, right? You have his Spirit with you. So that if we trust in him and we believe his promises, we can do these things. There is a reason that God will test your faith. If you're still open to Joshua, jump down to 6:15 with me. Early on the seventh day, they started at dawn and marched around the city seven times in the same way. That was the only day they marched around the city seven times. After the seventh time, the priests blew the ram's horns, and Joshua said to the troops, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." But the city and everything in it are to be set apart to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and everyone with her in the house will live, because she hid the messengers we sent. But keep yourselves from the things set apart, or you will be set apart for destruction. If you take any of those things, you will set apart the camp of Israel for destruction and make trouble for it. For all the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are dedicated to the Lord and must go into the Lord's treasury. So here it is. It's the seventh day. For 6 days, the army has marched around Jericho once. And you think about it, it's very hot in that part of Israel. And at best, by the time they form everyone up, and maybe it's a mile and a half around, you know, maybe 2-3 hours of the day's gone. The rest of the day, they're looking at this enormous city fortress wall. And there's the army, and probably by that seventh day, the people of Jericho just up there laughing at them, sneering at them, taunting them. And yet, the Lord said, do this. And so they look to Jericho, who has faith in the Lord. He has this courage, and they say, okay, there's Joshua. He's gone. We're going to trust him. He trusts in the Lord. We're going to take his courage and take it on as our own courage. And by that, they're going to trust in the Lord also. And they march around the city seven times, and they give a loud shout. And the Lord, their God, causes the wall to crumble before them. Wow. So the troops shouted, and the ram's horn sounded. When they heard the blast of the ram's horn, the troops gave a great shout, and the wall collapsed. The troops advanced into the city, each man straight ahead, and they captured the city. The walls collapsed. The troops advanced. The most ridiculous battle plan in all of history had succeeded by anyone's greatest imagination. The Lord did just as he had promised. Amen? The Lord will fulfill his promises. Listen with me to some of the promises the Lord gives us in his word. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is one who trusts in you. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Romans 8:31, we read this one earlier. If God is for us, who can be against us? Matthew 16:19, Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you believe the Lord? Do you trust in him? Here's a sobering statistic. Approximately 1 in 4 adults in our country claim to be evangelical Christians. 1 in 4. What's that mean? Now, that means that if every single professing evangelical Christian, took seriously his call to be ambassadors to those who are living in darkness. It means all of us would have to witness to how many people? Three. One and four, that leaves three. Three people to reach out to. Three people in our culture. You might know them at work. You might know them as neighbors. You might know them through your kids' soccer teams. Make a relationship. Share God's word. Be the salt and light that Jesus calls us to be. Can you imagine how our country, our world would be transformed if each one of us would show up? If we would do the things our God calls us to do? If we took the time to share the good news of his mercy, grace, and love with those people? I saw an interview with the atheist performer Penn Jillette, and he spoke of a man who came up to him after a performance, and the man really thanked him for putting on a wholesome performance that he could bring his children to. Now, this man, he turned out he was a Christian, and he witnessed to Penn Jillette. Now, you could tell it really had an impact on him by the way he was talking about this. He said, that was a good man. He took the time to come up and talk to me. I didn't really believe what he said, but he said, it got me to thinking. He said, if you really believe that you have the key to eternal life and salvation, if you know that truth, he said, how much do you have to hate a person not to share that with them? Wow. That question haunts me. It convicts me every time I feel myself feeling angry or repulsed by someone who's held in the bondage of captivity to sin. It makes me ask myself, hey, when am I going to be brokenhearted enough over their condition to be bold for Jesus, to share the truth of the gospel with them? When am I going to make a public stand against those who want to normalize perversion, drug usage, theft, graft, all forms of sinfulness? Church, we really need to believe that our prayers have power, that our actions have meaning, and that Jesus tells us that we have the power to bind Satan on this earth. We need to be speaking out against that evil. We need to help set the captives free from his deceit. If Christ be for us, who or what can stand against us? Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Are we going to show up? I hope I will. I hope all of you will. Because the world will be such a wonderful place if we do, amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that while we were yet your enemies, you sent your Son to pay for our sins. You sent your Son to show us a better way. Your way. You sent him to show us love and grace and mercy and to give us peace and joy. Lord, help us to share that with the world that doesn't know you. Help us to be good kids for you, Jesus, that we go out into the world and be salt and light. Lord, slam the gates of hell shut. Help us to be armed warriors standing in front of that gate that Satan would not dare venture out. And that your love and your mercy and grace would overwhelm everyone of this world. We love you, Jesus. We ask all these things for your glory. And all God's kids said, amen.